I think this is the juggling act that we're going to be caught in now for several weeks of Deshaun's off the field and Deshaun's on the field. And here we are.
Feels like we've been caught in that since day one. So why would it change right now?
Last year didn't feel the same. Go ahead. Last year, because all the suspension was over, like, yes, we were caught in, is he going to stay healthy and all that, but like, there was nothing new last year that amped up the pressure on any level.
No, but I think anytime you're dealing with something like this, it could come up at any point, and you just don't know when. When this first came out on Monday, obviously the Browns were pretty surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
I know fans were very surprised by it, but when it comes to somebody like him and the nature of all of this stuff, it could come out. The NFL could decide one thing, the courts could decide another thing, and then next year something else could come out.
So we're actually going to have Albert coming up in 20 minutes here, and that's Pete Futek afterwards. So if we get to this game, if we can make it about football, if it's not too crass to do it, because we talked about the Deshaun stuff now for multiple times here,
mm-hmm.
I said earlier, and I want to get your take on this because I think we were up against it, that it's not a must win, but that no one in the NFL needs a win more in week two than the Browns. How big of a game do you think this Jacksonville game is for the Browns?
I think it's massive, Nick. I think they've got some things that they need to figure out offensively and defensively. I think they're still trying to figure out this new system on offense and where Deshaun fits and where some of these other new pieces fit within that. And I just think for a team that came into the season with Super Bowl aspirations, that's talking about trying to win the AFC North, to lose back-to-back games to start off the season and start 0-2 when this is supposed to be the easier portion of the schedule, that is incredibly detrimental to their chances of winning the North and making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the stat of teams that start 0-2 and how often they make the playoffs is thrown out every year. But the scheduling implications, like you said, are interesting. Because if you lose this game, and listen, I don't think Jacksonville's in the same caliber as Dallas, but they are a team that can beat you if you aren't focused, if you don't have good energy, if the vibes are down like they were offensively, mm-hmm. like they can beat you, and they will beat you, and we're not quite to the point. Like if. We're not quite to the point where, well, if you can't beat Jacksonville, who says you can beat the Giants, Raiders, or Commanders? But it's only going to be logical if you don't win this game, because the desperation factor's on your side.
Yeah.
Yes, Jacksonville has the desperation factor of their 0-1 as well, and this is at home. Yeah, but you have another bit of a black cloud hanging over your head. So who needs it more? You need it more, and you need to play that way.
I think everybody in this locker room, including Kevin Stefanski, I think they just need a moment to exhale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a win against Jacksonville, taking some of that pressure off, showing that this team can rally in the face of adversity, I think a win against Jacksonville gives them that opportunity to exhale. And it gives them renewed hope that they can be the team that they believed they were going to be coming into this year.
Well, and you know this, you know, now that we're both adults and have families, it's never as bad as it feels.
No.
It isn't. It's never as good as it feels either, by the way. It's everything's fleeting.
Uh-huh.
But when you're in it and it's this bad, it does feel inescapable. It's pretty easy to escape it, by the way. Win.
Yeah.
And if you win, that reprieve that you're talking about is huge. And it's interesting, like, because if you don't, you even though, again, you're only guaranteed a week of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every game you win is a reprieve. Every game you win is the ability to change the conversation and try and drag it back to football. And if you lose and the football's bad and the off the field, it is You never know when the next shoe is going to drop or the next piece of an allegation is going to come out. The pressure is just going to continue to build.
Yeah.
And if you had told me 2 weeks ago that we'd be feeling this way about the Jacksonville game,
right,
I would ask, what's new? Because I don't think any of us could have seen the offense being that awful.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think any of us saw the new allegation, the new lawsuit coming out there.
I think one of the things that's new and different is that so many of the concerns that I had personally coming into this year about this team's offense,
mm-hmm.
Deshaun and the level that he could get to, the changes along the offensive line and some of the injuries that they were dealing with and how that could have an impact, the running game situation with Jerome Ford and Nick Chubb being on the PUP list, working in some new weapons on the offensive side, a new system and how long that takes to get integrated into. So many of the concerns that I had showed up in week one,
yeah.
Where it's like, if they didn't show up to that level, you could say, okay, that was just like off-season chatter.
Yeah.
That wasn't real. Those concerns can't be detrimental. But when the concerns that you have are magnified in week one, like, I'm going into this week saying, do I truly believe that the Browns are better than the Jaguars?
Mm-hmm. I think on paper they're still the more talented team, but I don't know that that... I don't know. Can we still judge them on paper? I'm not trying to give them the old Peterlin pass. I know my boy JP's has got to be listening right now, but like, I'm not trying to give them the Peterlin pass, but like, for 1 week, because it was so bad, because what, like, mm-hmm. what you're saying is, it's not just that, oh yeah, those concerns that you had reared their head. No, they reared their head in the most extreme way possible, and at home, where you were unbeatable mm-hmm. last year, you were the victim of a Kansas City ass kicking. Like, there's no way to polish it up. There's nothing that you can pull. And that's why, to kind of bring it back to this, like, the central question that I continue to run through in my mind, as somebody who believes if you are not built well in the trenches, you are going to be exposed. It's what Deion Sanders continues to find out in college football. It is what I think you found out in week one. If you are not stout in the trenches, especially on the offensive line, when you've got a quarterback coming off an injury with everything else going on, you're going to be exposed. That's how tough it is in the NFL. And I don't know that you get the offense righted. I don't know you get Deshaun righted unless the offensive line specifically can show up in a much more improved way this week.
Here's the thing, too, though, Nick. It's not just a quarterback coming off an injury. It's a quarterback who has a history of making things difficult on offensive lines because of his inability to diagnose pre-snap, because of his inability to read what's in front of him, because sometimes he doesn't throw in rhythm, because he does get happy feet and he likes to escape and stuff like that. Deshaun has had this issue going all the way back to his time in Houston. It's just the splashy, high-level plays, the magic that he created, made it not as much of a problem. So it's not just the shoulder thing. It's the kind of quarterback he is and the kind of offensive line that he probably needs in front of him to play quarterback the kind of way that he's most comfortable playing quarterback.
I'll be honest with you, I don't want to give the audience the update that I feel that professionally I am obliged to give them. I didn't want to say it to you.
Oh, no.
Because the injury report has come out. Myles Garrett did not practice today with a foot injury that has previously not been part of the equation. So, obviously, because the Browns don't have to, we don't know how serious this is, but here on a Thursday, as we get you ready for Sunday, Myles Garrett did not practice today with what is only labeled on the injury report as a foot. And good news is it's not like the Browns played awful football on Sunday and we're mired in such a situation that our minds won't immediately go to the worst possible level on this, right? At least we're all in such a good spot emotionally and mentally that we're not going to go down the rabbit hole and assume the worst in this situation. That's just not where we are as a fan base, as a region.
Everything's fine. We're good. It's the GIF. You go with GIF or JIF, by the way. I think GIF is a peanut butter.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm going GIF.
I agree.
All right. It's that one of the dog just sipping coffee while everything's burning around him.
Yep.
That's what it feels like right now. I know it's only Thursday. It's not Friday. So if he doesn't practice tomorrow, like, uh-oh.
That's a dead giveaway. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. It's conveniently on this list the day after Kevin Stefanski speaks. And by the way, Kevin would not tell you anyway.
Oh, no.
Like, the Browns are tight-lipped. They might have learned their lesson after the Deshaun injury both times last year. But, yeah, so Myles Garrett did not practice today with what is being described as a foot. Nothing more specific than that. So 216-474-0092.
I've got one of those, too. I've got two of those, actually. Yeah.
Can you give one to Miles?
Sure.
Yeah.
Work the same way that his does, but I can give it to him.
Okay. But now it's a sliding scale because his right now clearly isn't working. So maybe your new foot will be better than his old foot at 60%.
Yes. I can give it to him. Especially because the Browns need the defense to be great, I think, this weekend. Given all of the questions on offense, given all the struggles, given everything that Deshaun Watson is dealing with, this has to be a defense game for the Browns, I feel like. And to not have Miles or a less than 100% Miles.
We weren't able to get to this yesterday because we were waiting to see if the most famous person involved in the incident had something to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday during the show, it became very apparent that Shannon Sharp had accidentally gone live on Instagram while in the midst of what some call coitus. And it has led to the funniest situation. Now, in fairness, it's not a video thing, which usually that's a part of it when there's some sort of sex tape going on. All you get is the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And before we play any of the sound on what he had to say on the matter, I have to tell you, one of the funniest things that's happened in the NFL in recent times. Nonetheless, because in the video, at one point, he is called Papa.
Nothing wrong with that.
I know.
Oh, yo, I'd take that.
I know the man is a grandfather. But that is a word that does not fit in coitus, just in general. If that word comes up, if somehow that's part of what's going on, feel like that should be the opposite reaction of what Viagra is. I feel like Papa, like, I've never heard that before, guys. I've been around for a while, all right? I've seen some things. I've been on the incognito view, okay? Those websites, I seen a few once many years ago. Never heard Papa. Cannot. Now, every time I see Mr. TNB, as he calls himself, which we're not explaining the acronym, but Mr. TNB himself, all I see is a man that has been called Papa mid-coitus, and that's where we are, Chris.
Can you just imagine being one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history? And you Google search your name, and that's the only thing that comes up. It has nothing to do with your touchdowns, your catches, your yards. It's all about your Instagram Live.
So,
and do we have to say coitus?
Well, you choose any euphemism. I'm just trying to keep it PG in case any.
Who are we, PG? Sheldon Cooper?
Well, no, I'm trying to make sure that it's a euphemism that if there are kids out there listening, they're not going to know what we're talking about.
All righty.
Yeah, like
diddling. How about that?
That's better than coitus?
I think diddling. So. I like it.
Dang it, Papa.
I like diddling.
Who doesn't? Yeah. Who doesn't? That's now part of the Pulse Open, by the way. Keith, you are management here at 92.3 The Fan. What is a better euphemism for toe curling? Is it coitus or is it diddling?
I mean, I'll go with what Fedor said, because it sounds better.
Right?
Diddling sounds better than coitus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I throw toe curling in there?
Coitus sounds a little suspect.
Okay. What about toe curling? Can I get a second? It's better than diddling. Especially with everything Diddy's accused of. That's where my mind goes.
What about copulating?
That's better than coitus?
No,
copulating are the...
I'm just asking what you feel about it. Not generally speaking, but in this context.
Well, historically, big fan of copulation, just so we're clear here. In case my three children aren't enough evidence here. Big fan.
I like diddling.
Van Nuys.
We keep diddling. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, so Shannon Sharp, we were waiting for this. Shannon Sharp did come out and talk about diddling on Instagram Live. And Mac, don't make that face. It's Chris. Chris is the king of diddling over there.
I like it.
Like,
just flows.
Nah.
Just rolls off the tongue nicely.
Don't know that it really does, but here is Papa talking about... And by the way, before I say that, we're going to play Pop in a second. He initially, on his Instagram story, said, I was hacked. Nobody in the world, the timing that would have to happen to be hacked while mid-diddle is so far-fetched and unbelievable that the man immediately owned it when he spoke last night.
I'm very disappointed in myself, not for the act. I think there are millions and billions of people of consenting age that engage in activities, but to have your most intimate detail on the audio to be heard, I'm disappointed in myself. I let a lot of people down. I said, I just got to tell them the truth. My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was me being a healthy, active male. I mean, y'all thought I was bull jiving. Hey, I'll get it in. Real talk. Hey, Ocho, see, I don't, man, Unk be lying, Unk lying. Unk ain't lying.
Unk, come on, man.
In all sincerity, I'm extremely embarrassed.
That's from the Nightcap podcast. By the way, if I'm Shannon Sharp, I wouldn't be embarrassed. Like, nobody goes on Yelp and is like, man, I got a 5-star review. I got a 10 out of 10 on Yelp. If I was his kids... Oh, there's, if that was my papa, I'm staying off social media.
Months? He also said, I came in, I threw my phone on the bed and engaged in an activity.
Yeah.
Who just throws their phone on the bed?
So you know where that phone is, mid-diddle? That's where your head is?
I just don't understand throwing your phone on the bed.
Phone's never been on the bed.
Nightstand.
Dresser. We don't know.
Pocket of the shorts that were just removed.
We don't know the circumstances which led to said diddling. All right? When things evolve in real time, it's not as if everybody's thinking clearly here. There's a lot going on, a lot of ins and outs, a lot going on. I think the idea, because Dove Kleiman actually in going and doing what he always does, which is aggregating things, used the quotations, the Dr. Mm-hmm. Evil quotations around accidentally having diddling time on Instagram Live. Who would not do that? Like, who would not do this anything other than accidentally? I mean, it would be Antonio Brown, but I'm saying, and he has, I'm just saying for Shannon Sharp, there's no way this wasn't accidental. Like, there's no way. Like, people, because I heard Peterlin last night say, and I love my boy JP.
It's tough, man, to do an IG Live. There are a lot of steps that you take to get on IG Live. It's not a butt dial. Like,
butt dials aren't butt dials anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've FaceTimed people on accident. I've called the wrong people on accident.
Yeah, but that's not the same to call now. There's more steps than what it used to be, where it was just you had like the speed dial.
Not really.
Which I said about 150 years old.
I mean, I have two phones, and sometimes my second phone rubs up against it and just FaceTimes somebody. It happens.
Against what?
Against the other phone.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know if we were going back to Diddletown, USA there. By the way, Cleveland Sports Twist. Coitus is far better word than diddling. Vindicated. Vindicated.
I love that you're vin...
I actually agree, by the way. Jay, real quick here. Jay, tread lightly, but you think Sharp shouldn't be embarrassed?
No, I don't think he should be embarrassed. A lot of people definitely throw their phone or throw whatever when they're diddling or having coitus. I personally think coitus is better, especially with the Diddy situation. I'm not a big fan of diddler, but I agree that it is pretty funny. That's all.
Jay, we appreciate you. I agree.
Wait, is that what his supporters are called? Diddlers?
Diddlers.
I'm a diddler.
It's the worst Batman villain in history. Oh, no. It's the diddler. Ah, come here.
Taylor Swift fans are Swifties, and Diddy fans are diddlers.
Well, Diddy's a diddler, so it makes sense that his fans are also diddlers. Diddler on the Roof, coming to Broadway very soon. I agree. The man's 57. The man is 57, and he's still out there living an active life, and it seems like things are going well for him. I agree with Jay. I don't think he should be embarrassed by this. His kids are another story. But I think he shouldn't be embarrassed. Man, I got to tell you.
I don't think you want that audio out there forever.
I don't want that video out there. I don't think people want that video out there. But the audio, pretty harmless. And mostly it's breathing.
Mostly it's breathing.
Yeah, like, okay, it's not that graphic.
It could be more graphic.
As audio goes of said diddling, you can say some things in the moment that we can't say on the air. Okay, so as it goes, it's honestly graphic, but it's pretty tame, all things considered, especially for a 57-year-old man.
I'm a proud papa.
Who's going to be the first person in his circle that instead of calling him Unc, calls him Papa? And how does he respond to it?
So I thought about that because my initial first bad idea with this is to try and get Keith to book Jen and Sharp. And like we've done with other bits, I only call him Papa. And see how long he hangs on the air.
Until he realizes what you're doing.
Which, by the way, is a grotesque abuse of power by me. But I would do it just to see. And who knows? Maybe he finds it funny and we become best friends. And maybe next time there's a cameraman. I don't know. I'm just saying, it probably doesn't go right. But maybe he thinks it's really funny too.
What are the odds that he thinks it's really funny? Be honest.
Me calling him Papa 12 times in an interview?
Oh. I'm sure he would laugh that one off.
The first one.
Considering he knows you all that well.
The first one. Oh, H.E. Pennypacker, what about fadoodling? Aren't you the king of fadoodling?
What?
Fadoodling. I don't give a flying fadoodle. You've said that.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so
but I've never used it as fadoodling.
Okay, how do we know? How does H.E. know that?
Well, that's a good point.
Also, saying,
I don't know about fadoodling, though. I like diddling.
How about cardinal knowledge rather than diddler?
Huh?
I don't think we've gotten any closer to the... I still think toe curling. I think that's a cute, classy way.
Cute?
Yeah.
That's a cute, classy way to describe it.
What about endearing?
No.
You're just not down home enough. There's no one in the world I would rather get their take on this, even though it's not college football, than our next guest, Pete Futek, College Football News, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, Shannon Sharp was toe curling on Instagram Live on accident, and he had to apologize for it. Should he have to apologize?
Yeah, first of all, my walk-up music is Papa Don't Preach. Really? It's okay. Let's start with that one, but and then you, follow you, that up with.
You know why, right?
Is it Dave Grohl? Is that the?
No, it's in the video. Shannon was called Papa.
Oh, I was going to go My Michelle with Guns N' Roses, but that's just me. Not that I saw this or anything. But like, dude, that's me. I'm putting that out myself. What are you talking about? That's awesome. Well done, man. But you're Shannon Sharp. I mean, it's, you know, all that's the thing we always remember, and I have daughters, so I kind of have learned this from them. They look at athletes differently than, oh, I do. So it's like, for example, my daughter knows who Sam Hartman is. She doesn't know the Notre Dame Fighting Irish head of a football team. You know, so it's kind of a little different animal for certain people. It's all right. It's great. Nice.
Pete, are you a believer that the dominance – I'm just going to try a real hard segue here.
Oh, do not transition to Deshaun Watson and do I think he's good. So.
Nope. Are you a believer that the dominance of the top 10 teams early in the season versus cupcake games is bad for college football and their fans?
Well played. Yes. Yeah, I will try to bail. This parachute's a knapsack here on the start of this thing. I do believe it up the top. I don't quite buy into Oregon, for example. I never really did. They're going to be fine, but I was never sold from at the start that they are a college football playoff team. I do think that Michigan-Texas game was an elimination game. I think you look at the schedules for both. There are two more losses there for Michigan. I still think that at some point it's Texas that's going to blow it. So there's going to be one gack there somewhere. They could lose to Oklahoma. They could lose at Texas A&M. They got to play Georgia. So I'm not exactly sold on them. I'll be really interested in to see Bama this weekend because either Wisconsin's holding back or they're going to get throttled by 50 because they're not good. They've changed the style. It's not really working. The timing isn't there. The defense isn't like it was. This, you know, little tippy tappy, quick hitting stuff. They're not pounding the ball like they, you know, like a Wisconsin team used to. It's just, at least for the first two games, Western Michigan, South Dakota, you're struggling against. So either they're kind of keeping everything close to the vest and the real Wisconsin's about to show up, or else Bama comes in and just steamrolls them. So I do still think, I'm still going with my still belief that Ohio State right now, you know, Georgia, just start preparing for each other. I mean, start getting the recon work on now, because those are the only two teams with maybe Bama in that mix as well.
Pete, when it comes to Power 5 teams, what is the most in terms of losses you think a team can have and still get in the college football playoff with this new redesign?
It's going to be the weird question mark about conference champions, because now it's kind of going to be it's different. Because if you look at the 10 years of the college football playoff in the four-team format, pretty much if you didn't go 10-2, you need not apply. I mean, Oklahoma would have gone 10-2 last year and missed out. So, 10-2 seems to be the benchmark. The difference, though, was you would have teams like your conference champion loser, like the Big Ten loser, would be like Iowa or Purdue or someone who is just sort of from the other division. Now your Big Ten championship loser is probably going to be Ohio State or Texas, you know, or in the SEC it's going to be Bama or Georgia. And let's say Texas does have two losses but gets to the conference championship and they're 10-3. Is that going to change anything? So long-winded way of kind of saying, I think 10-2 is still the mark, but if you lose your conference championship game, 10-3 might be it. But we know how the College Football Playoff Committee rolls. They don't want to have a big argument. What I would love to see, by the way, is if, let's say, Northern Illinois ends up winning, actually ends up losing, goes like 12-0, because their schedule is actually not bad. If they end up losing the MAC title, and it's like the question between, okay, well, you've got a 12-1 Northern Illinois, and you have, like, let's say, a 10-2 Notre Dame. How do you put in for that last spot and then that large bid? I mean, you want to try to sell that one to Northern Illinois fans after they won, after, you know, they're not being ranked higher than Notre Dame this week. But there's a lot of quirky things that will still happen out there.
Pete, Notre Dame is still 18th ranked coming off the NIU loss. They are in Purdue this weekend. Meanwhile, Michigan is hosting Arkansas State. Who's in more danger of being upset this weekend between those two powerhouses?
Oh,
by 100 miles, it's Notre Dame. I mean, because Purdue's actually got a little bit of a passing game, and Hudson Card's a veteran quarterback, and we still don't know if Riley Leonard's going to play, and we still don't know if they have an offense or if they're going to remember to actually hand the ball off to their, you know, good running backs. The defense is still good. Michigan's fine. You know, Texas just might be that good. At some point, the defense is just going to just throttle somebody again, and the D is going to slow down Arkansas State. They do need to remember, that's another team where Michigan, just figure out you have running backs. Just start handing the ball off again and go from there.
Pete, how much of a believer are you in Will Howard?
Fine. What's not to believe? I mean, what do you want? I mean, you don't have to. You don't need anybody who is a superstar. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is probably, you know, might be the number one pick in the draft, and Colorado stinks, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, Howard's fine. You know, he's actually probably what you want. He's a veteran quarterback. He's been around for forever. And you know, let me put it this way: if it comes down to Will Howard having to be good, something else went wrong. Because everything else on Ohio State's awesome. So it shouldn't have to come down to a late drive against, some mediocre team for Ohio State to get by anybody. That will matter in the college football playoff, but we'll deal with that then.
Jeremiah Smith, name me a better freshman receiver in the first two games of their college careers, please.
Wow. Oh, I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure there's someone who has lit it up, but man, he has been great. I mean, but again, that's kind of the point. I mean, Ohio State always has the guys, and if this is going to work, if Ohio State is who we think it is, then Will Howard's just along for the ride, and that defense, you know, is going to allow maybe 13 points or fewer every game out, and just work with all your weapons. That's the joy of being a Ohio State quarterback. You're working behind an NFL offensive line with NFL receivers and NFL running backs to throw to, and an NFL defense to clean everything up. And I keep going back to this. Everyone, you know, kind of dogged the quarterback situation. They were still one drive away. If all McCord leads them down for a touchdown against Michigan, they're the one seed in the college football playoffs. So it was just that one thing against that great Michigan team, and Howard's better than Kyle McCord is.
Is Miami back?
No, well, actually, that was my joke last week. Michigan's actually back. We'll see. I mean, maybe Florida's that bad. It was a week one thing. We still don't quite, you know, every team needs a little while to get up and going. But, you know, obviously, that was a great performance by him. I mean, Cam Ward is a great quarterback. And so the pieces are there. Mario Cristobal, you know, if he's doing for this what he did for Oregon, then, yeah, Miami's right in the mix for, you know, big things, but they'll biff it at some point because it's a Mario Cristobal team, but they are going to be in the ACC championship mix throughout.
Pete, as the Pac-12 turns to the six-pack here, my idea for the Big Ten is we actually start throwing out some of these lame-ass football teams in the Big Ten who are collecting a check but not carrying their weight, looking at you, Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Maryland. Can I get you behind my idea to swap those four teams out with literally the best four teams or brands from the ACC?
Why would you want to do that? Why don't you just leave and be an independent then? Like, if you're Ohio State and you really just want money, just go be Notre Dame. Just ditch. Just, you know, and actually everyone is making so much money off all this. And the other thing that kind of gets forgotten here is look at 2020. The crazy stat, I think it was something insane, like out of all the SEC teams, there were only like three teams that had a winning record when it was all SEC versus all SEC. I mean, I got that wrong, but something crazy like that. Same with the Big Ten, where when you went to the all SEC schedule, that stinks for certain programs because you need those lightweight games to build up your resume, build up your numbers. And if you're Ohio State, you don't want to play Alabama and then Georgia and then Michigan and then, you know, the tough teams. You want those. Because what fun is it, ask Notre Dame fans last week, what fun is it to be Ohio State if you can't just show up knowing you're going to win by 35 and then get to, you know, cry and whine when you win by 31 and Will Howard threw one incompletion?
It's a big incompletion, though. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not one of those people. Pete, great stuff, buddy. Enjoyed the Shannon Sharp conversation. Probably won't do that again, but we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Oh, you sure will. Later, guys.
Yeah.
Pete Futek, College Football News, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.